for many football fans, the beautiful game is not just an effort to put a ball into a net. It has an aesthetic dimension. It's not just a game. It's an art. This weekend, TU Dublin, formerly DIT, will host the Art of Football Conference at its Grange Gorman campus. Aligned to the conference is a screening of the film Football as Never Before in Derlymount Park, with live score by Matthew Nolan. And with me in studio this evening, Matthew Nolan, who's the composer I just mentioned, and Conal Vaughan, who's one of the speakers at this upcoming conference. Who gets the easy question, first of all, Matthew? How does football become art, you know, more than just a game, and become art? Because I'm guessing you believe it is art.
Well, I don't know that I would say it's art, but I would say it's definitely artistic. Mm. So it's artistic in the sense that it produces an image. And we think about the image not just in terms of its effect, but we also think of it in terms of its style. So if we think of it in terms of, say, a player like George Best, it's not simply that he scored lots of goals. It's really about how he plays. It's about how he swerves. When we think about the way we talk about football, we have these endless conversations about team style, team's ways of playing, but also the best goal, what makes a beautiful goal, and so on.
So I noticed that in one of the speakers, Simon Critchley, has referred to football as working class ballet. Would you go that far? Although I think it's a little bit patronising, that statement, I have to say.
I find Critchley sometimes to be a bit romantic, and I would disagree with him to some degree in that. I think there's something that he's getting at, though, when he says that. What he's getting at is that there's something communal about football and sport in general. And I think this is kind of what's philosophical and kind of aesthetically interesting about it, is that there's a theatre. I think that he kind of, maybe in that quote, pushes it too much to one kind of idea of class in that theatre. But there's definitely a kind of a stage that is set, and we like to think of, say, a player on that stage, but we also think of it as a theatre of identity, where we kind of, as a group, as a fans collective, kind of read into what happens on the stage as saying something about us. And there's a long history in aesthetics and in art theory, and going all the way back to Aristotle, of seeing theatre as the way of discussing these kind of questions, we might say.
So, literally, is watching a football game part of that discussion then, would you argue?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where everything comes out, but it really comes out in the discussion later on, because watching the football game isn't really the where you kind of do the philosophy, and it's kind of weird to think of.
So it's in the pub afterwards, is that
I think it's in the pub afterwards, and sometimes it's even in the discussion beforehand and at halftime. I think that's where it comes out. You know, sometimes you can find yourself fast-forwarding through matches because you want to hear the analysis. And you're more interested in the analysis. And I think there's something very deeply philosophical about that. And the idea of that kind of collective experience, you go to the match almost like when you go to the cinema. You kind of want to talk in the pub afterwards about it, but you want to experience it collectively.
Let me turn to you on this. We'll come back to some of those ideas in a second, Conal. I'll turn to you on this one, Matthew. But what strikes me there, what Conal's talking about, this communal idea. Now, explain first of all about the film that you've composed this new live score for. The film itself is quite a thing.
The film is very unusual, highly conceptual, and a product of an era in German film and in European film that was encouraging experimentation. And Helmut Kostard is one of the great experimental avant-garde filmmakers of the late 60s.
What did he do in Derlymount Park? When was it, in fact, that he made this film? Over a series of...
Kostard went to watch Best play with Manchester United in early 1970 with a bunch of Super 8mm cameras. Just to shoot test footage. He went back a few months later to Manchester United, to Old Trafford, where they were playing Coventry, with six 16mm cameramen. He trained the cameras on Best and almost exclusively follows him for the 90 minutes of the game. So the action unfolds in real time. It's very raw. It's quite enchanting in its own way. And it becomes almost hallucinatory.
Just him. It's the camera. Okay, you have the many cameras. Did you say in total
six?
So six cameras. So it's edited presumably between all six cameras. But essentially, we're looking at pretty much close-ups or mid-close-ups on him. Is there? There's no big wide shot of the whole
there's
pitch?
There's a couple of wide shots, a couple of, I guess, establishing shots to give us a sense of orientation. But from then on, with a couple of exceptions, it's about Best. It's about him, his physicality. And oftentimes the camera moves into, as you rightly said, into close-ups, medium close-ups, and you get almost a almost an eroticization or a fetishization of Best's body. And it's a really interesting thing to watch. The camera angles move from high angle stadium shots to low angle pitch side shots. And, you know, it's full of energy and really charged with a, but a different kind of energy to what you experience when you're used to watching. Well, you know, this ain't match of the day. And this
well, look, just, you know, because some people, George Best, you know, he was and is the god of football, the great artist of football. Mm. Let's listen to a little bit of documentary, a little bit of a documentary here, about, sorry, commentary from a match where Best, just listen to what the referee does, according to the commentator at any rate, when George Best scores.
Charlton taking over, Best breaking, and in a great position to break too. This looks bad. What a great goal, George Best, and referee John Gow clapping his hands together and saying, well done too.
Tommy Taylor's header. George Best! This incredible ability that George Best has to turn.
Charlton.
A comparison to Muhammad Ali, did he there in the last moments? And the first one was, oh, there's three different matches, obviously, that we got there. The first one was the referee clapping the goal that had just been scored. Was George Best the ultimate artist in that respect? Was he, you know, that great Christmas? You just simply couldn't take your eyes off the ballet that was being performed in front of your eyes, Conal.
Yeah, I think there's something obviously special about a select few players that when we think about them, we almost think about them being bigger than the game. You know, to go back to this idea of the working class solidarity. And I think there is something about that. You know, you think of your sense of appreciation that the referee, this arbiter of justice, actually goes...
Who shouldn't be clapping anybody, let's be honest.
You know, but that the idea that it's something so aesthetically beautiful that it needs to kind of stop and break justice and just applaud.
Yeah, but I think part of the discussion that you'll be talking about is pretty much a lot of it around the Irish, the Republic of Ireland team. The national team, and whether in fact, you know, the great argument, do they just lob it up the middle of the park? And I know very little about football now, let me be up front on that one, but I do understand that there's a difference between kicking the ball up in the middle and hope that some big tall fella hits it with his head down to somebody else who either kicks it in or crap passes it up to another big tall fella who scores, and a beautiful kind of built momentum from one end of the field up to the other that ends in a beautifully scored goal where the referee might possibly clap as he did in George Best's case there. Is there something about the aesthetics of the Irish national team that you're looking at in particular?
Well, I think it's interesting that you say that you know that that's beautiful. And I think that that's what we get in much of the commentary around football, is that possession-based play and passing and keeping it on the ground is legitimate, and that's the correct form of beauty. But not to claim that kind of cheating is beautiful or anything like this, though on occasion you can appreciate that. But sometimes lumping it up forward to the big man to head it down or whatever can be actually quite considered. It can be a tactic that is really well
So we shouldn't be too snobby about what we consider beauty to be.
I would think so, and I think that sometimes we can fail to appreciate the skill and the artistry in that as well sometimes.
All right. Coming back then to this screening that's going to be happening of the film, it's actually happening in Dennymount Park.
Yep.
So how's that going to work? And how many people, you know, like, are you looking for a big full ground? Do you need that kind of swell of perhaps the crowds even chanting on the terraces to give this atmosphere?
In a way, we'd love that. I think the most important aspect of this event is that it is happening in Dennymount. That George Best is, in a way, not to be overly romantic about this, but I tend to get that way when it comes to Best myself, is that he's returning to Dennymount. He played there in 1968. 1998 with that great Manchester United team at the high water mark, I suppose, of his career. And now he's making a return. And I think what's interesting in that intervening time is that, you know, Best's career and his public perception changed and became kind of distorted. And certainly what was happening across the 80s and 90s into the noughties misrepresented what he was. So what we get with Costard's film is a return of Best to a space and an arena where he did what he did best. There's a purity there. And I'm, you know, I'm really grateful that, you know, Connell has approached me. I'm really grateful that this project has had a life through support of the IFI and Visual and Carlo. And it's I didn't know when it would be presented again, but this feels right.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what kind of size of what forces do you need to fill a football stadium when it comes to music?
We've configured the space so that a modest crowd can really enjoy the event. We'll have the a couple of blocks from the, is it the Jetty?
It's the Geordie Stand.
Geordie Stand, sorry. Yeah. And a very, very big screen facing into the stand. So in a way, you know, albeit in kind of with light bouncing off the screen, Best will be out there on the pitch again.
All right. And it will be more than a beautiful game, do you reckon, then? Will it be art for you?
For me, it is. For me, the film has a very distinct aesthetic quality. It's constantly challenging you, but what we try to open up, certainly with the music, is something a bit more meditative. This is an homage to Best.
All right. And I presume there's more than just your discussion going on, Connell. There's a lot else besides in terms of identity politics in particular, I think.
Yeah. There's 2 days of packed kind of discussions throughout the
some
conference.
Of it more geared towards the sports fan, some of it geared towards sort of a cultural study of football rather than football as sport.
Yeah, it focuses on kind of that question that you began with, is sport art, and also then these kind of artistic realm relationships that we might think of between different types of football and art, and also then the rhetoric and the discussion that surrounds the different types of games. I think we're going to look at particularly the kind of the different types of football and the differences that these bring, you know, the difference between, say, Gaelic football, and we're looking at the history of Gaelic football as well, and different types of sport.
I presume hurling would be in there as well in some.
No doubt.
Because it is a beauty all of its own, as anybody who's watching it over the weekend will be quite certain about. All right, that's Conall Vaughan and Matthew Nolan speaking to me about the Art of Football Conference on over the weekend with screening of the film Football as Never Before in Dalymount Park. And you can find out more information on dit.ie. But I'm thanking Lucan Dunboyne for clarifying something for me. TU Dublin, I think it's Technological University, isn't that what it stands for? TU Dublin is an amalgamation of DIT Institute from Blanchardstown and the Institute of Technology in Tallaght. Thank you. Well, thank you as well, Luke. DIT, however, is still the website. DIT.ie will give you all of the information about the upcoming event.